Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning, people of God. It's Sunday, woo, 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 the last Sunday in this January of 2020. You may be like, what? What do you mean the last Sunday? Remember, I was specific. I said in the month of January in 2020. So there won't be another Sunday in the month of January in 2020. Will there be other Mondays? Well, we don't know, for tomorrow's not promised to us, but we can enjoy the Lord on today, and we thank him for any and everything that he gives us in the future. This is Let's Talk, and you're on the air with Minister Sheila. She's on the line with us, and also myself, Cecilia. So I thank you for your prayers and your support. Well, definitely your God-given prayers with us, because we are Smile3E, a ministry that God has truly blessed us with, and we thank God for Minister Sheila. We thank God for Minister Renee, who are so consistent in this God-given call and mission that he's given us, and purpose to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pray ye for one another, to encourage one another, to rebuke, to reprove, whatever we have to do in season and out of season, based off of the direction and calling and instruction of God the Father, who will be just permeating every fiber of our total being with his Holy Spirit and with the Word that was made flesh, which is Jesus Christ. So now I will turn it over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray and share whatever the Lord has given her. But once again, welcome, 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 and we thank you for your God-given prayers and support. Minister Sheila.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and to all that might be listening. And I want to give honor to God, for yet he has given and blessed us with another day, with another new day of a new year, of the first month of the year. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, for yet we have been blessed with another birthday. I say each day I wake up, it's another new day, so it's another day of birth to learn and to understand and to be taught and to hear more of the Lord. I thank God and thank him and thank him and thank him every day. And when I miss out on a minute, I say, Lord, forgive me, for yet I still haven't thanked you enough for this day. But Lord, I give honor to you. I give honor for your blessings, for life, for each and every living thing on this earth that you have made for us to live, that you have made for us to live in peace, love, and harmony, and prayer, and acknowledgement, and love to you, but Lord. The devil has arisen. It still is just being so disrespectful, ungrateful, into unknowledge, and to mistreat your sons and daughters on earth. But Lord, I give honor for those that still honor you and treasure you and praise you and pray and live the life for you, for yet we know each and every day more and more is learning that you are the way of life, not the devil way. We have all had ugliness in our past. But Lord, I thank you for letting me know that's the past. We need to know and to understand and live for you for right now. But now is what we have. Tomorrow is not planned. Later on today is not, you know, planned for us. But Lord, I thank you for what you do have planned. Because I know what you have for us is so beautiful, so great, so loving and caring that I cannot thank you enough. But Lord, I give honor to you for blessing us with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright. I thank you for all your sons and daughters that you have brought into my life, Lord, that you have brought for me to understand that being with you and loving you and letting you lead me and to teach me is more of a blessing than any could ever ask for. Lord, I give honor to my sons and daughters, nieces, nephews, granddaughters, grandsons, uncles, aunts, all relatives, bloodline, spiritual line, and all that you have brought into my life. I thank you for each and every one of us that is willing and waiting to learn more and more about you. Lord, I ask you to bless this government that is being so corrupt. There's only blessing a few and taking away from so many that is needed just because they don't understand. But Lord, I believe they do understand. It's just that they think they can have their way. They can do things their way. They can just try to destroy your world. Lord, the devil is working in them to take all your beauty and make it so ugly. Lord, this law enforcement is just downrating, just mistreating, just knowing that they have the wrong understanding. We are here to treat all people the right way, the same way, the only way, no matter what your color is, your race, your sex, your religion, your way of life, that we are all equals in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, we need you to bless us and make us all right. Let this president know it's not your way. Your way is not the right way. You are mistreating the people, and you're doing it the wrong way. And God, we ask you to bless him and to bless us all and to help us to understand, to take us safely to our work and bless our co-workers to all understand we are all here to work together to make things better for each and every one of us, to take our sons and daughters back and forth to school safely, Lord, to just be able to walk out your front door, your back door, and to come back in safely, Lord. We need you to bless us however we are walking and going about on this earth, to keep us safe and to make us all the right way, the only way, and to keep us. I want to break away from the prayer and just ask, can I read a scripture? I woke up this morning and I read my Bible. And when I open it up, I turn to Psalms 55. And I want to read, I don't want to read a few verses. I want to read the whole chapter from 1 to 23. Because it is so real and it is so much needed. And it's so much that we need to understand. It starts off by saying, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me. I am so distraught because of what my enemies is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assails me in their anger. My heart is in exhaust, if I'm saying the words right, within me. The terror of death has fallen on me. Fears and troubling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I say, oh, that I have the wings of a dove. I will fly away and be rest. I will flee far away and stay in the desert. I will hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest of the and storm. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words. For I see violence and stress in the city. Day and night they prowl about on the walls. Malice and abuse are within. Abuse are within it. Destructive force are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If its enemies was insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe was rise against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walk together among the worshipers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the rim of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to God. The Lord save me, evening, morning, noon. I will cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from the old, who does not change, he will hear from the humble, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks my friend. He violates his covenant. He talks as smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more smooth than ore, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken, but you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay, and the bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half of their days. But as for me, I trust in you. God, each day I wake up, I trust in you, because I know if it wasn't for you, Lord, I would not be here. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, because if it wasn't for you, only you, God, the Father, and the Son, I would not have opened my eyes this morning. I would not be able to talk. I would not be able to thank you. I would not be able to see, talk, and walk with Lord. I know so many did not make it to this day. But, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Because make all and to send the teachers and your angels to let us know that you are the way of life, the only way of life, and to be with you in our lives. Lord, we need you, and we need you more and more each day, and to shed this devil and these ugly and these hateful and these mean just to do because they can do harm to your people. Lord, we need you more and more and more, and I thank you for blessing us all, for waking us up. But Lord, I thank you for my life and in my life for knowing and loving you, and thank you, God, for loving us all. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser.
Amen. My phone was stuck on mute for a little bit, but I thank God for that very action, because to me, since the phone was stuck on mute, that means that God wanted us to utilize that moment as a Selah to actually meditate on the very things that he had given Minister Sheila to pray about and to share with us with the scriptures. Many times we hear the scriptures and we go right into talking or things of that sort, when sometimes the Holy Spirit and God himself wants to minister. And it's so appropriate with what God has given me to continue talking about, because we have been talking about what are you sowing and what are you expecting for it to grow, and also talking about being imitators of Christ and and role models. And so on yesterday and throughout the week, various things were happening, and God reminded me about how I had watched this woman of God transition through a person of who appeared to be very humble and God-fearing and directing people to God to becoming somewhat prideful. They were talking so much about themselves until they actually ended up where their messages was more about them, and their humility and humbleness transitioned from humility and humbleness to a type of vanity and pride, and even their very mannerisms had changed from that person that was being meek to someone that had become haughty. And a lot of times we have to be careful that that doesn't happen to us, because the enemy is patient. And he can, you know, it seems like everything's going fine, and all of a sudden you see yourself walking in the vanity of the world instead of the humility of the Word of God. So before we get into a number of scriptures, and I thank Minister Sheila for the scriptures that she's already shared with us, and also the prayer that she prayed with us. Realistic. What does realistic mean? Realistic is an adjective in this case, and it's talking about having or showing a sensible and practical idea of what can be achieved or expected. Some people may call it being pragmatic, a matter of fact, sensible, reasonable, level-headed, logical, sober-minded. Some people may even call it being that person that walks in a type of achievable and attainable and doable type of mannerisms. Some people will even say that it's representing familiar things in a way that is accurate and true to life. But I want you to hear what I said. It said familiar. You know, the word talks about being familiar and walking and having a familiar spirit. So let's, you know, be aware of sometimes being realistic can cause you to walk in a type of realistic human drama. You know, they were talking about drama, mama drama, baby daddy drama. There's some realistic dramas connected to being a person that's talking about being realistic, lifelike, true to life. Well, sometimes being true to life can cause you to separate yourself from being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get into that a little later. So relatable, that's another adjective that means being able to be related to something. It's about enabling a person to feel that they can relate to someone or something else. It's a that of sometimes we would call it being real. Being real is actually existing as a thing or occurring in fact, not imagined or proposed. We have to remember that sometimes being real, like I said, that not being something that's in your imagination or how something is supposed to be, but for it's actually being genuine. It's the substance of something. It's not imitation. It's real. It's that thing that can be absolute, wholehearted. It can be that thing that is said to be true. A lot of people talk about the realistic and genuineness and uniqueness of even the very food you're eating being organic or kosher. And then let's also talk about this other word, relevant. It's about being closely connected or appropriate to what is being done or considered. Nowadays, you hear people talking about being applicable and being pertinent and being germane and being appropriate, being fitting, being suitable, being proper, being connected.
they're being appropriate to the current time and period and circumstances in the audience that they're speaking to. You know, they're talking about that's what it means to be relevant. But we have to be even careful in our relevance, that our relevance isn't taken away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes being so relatable or being so realistic can cause you to now slip into being religious, as in relating to or believing in a religion or the intelligence or the moralistic piousness or believing or beliefs that you feel that you're dutiful to do. I mean, that churchgoer that some people may call self-righteous, because they're so devoted to getting everybody right, because they can see all of those boards and splinters in their eyes, but they can't look in their own spiritual mirror, which is the Bible, and see themselves. And we have to be careful that we don't become so religious that it's all about our vows. We're monotheistic about our vows. We want everybody to know what we believe, and we're not taking time out to hear what someone else is saying. I remember on a few times Minister Sylvia was talking about how she was talking to someone, and she had to basically just tell them to be quiet, although she repented because of the way she told them to be quiet. But it was because they weren't listening to what she was saying, and they were so busy trying to get their views out and their vows out. And so we have to be careful with that, because sometimes that means that we've now moved over into pride, which is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. It's not talking about what God has done, but this is about you being so prideful about what you've done, what you've achieved, and how you associate things and situations to what you've done, your qualities, your possessions, what you're so widely admired for. Because it could be things that other people admire you for, stuff you admire your own self for. You take a lot in your own self-pleasure, your own gratification, your own satisfaction, your own sense of achievement, your own sense of commitment. That's confidence in your own self-respect, where you're grounded in social marginalization based off of your identity and your experiences in life, talking about your own this or that. You know, it's a crisis in a Christian's life, and they're in a crisis state when it's all about them. And sometimes we can be wronged by people, and the pride in us will cause us not to forgive them because of they've wronged us. It's like, I have the right to be upset. I have the right to do this. I have the right. Well, Jesus had a right to do a lot of things when he was spit upon, when he was beaten and stricken and whipped and misunderstood and lied upon and nailed to the cross for you and I, when he had done nothing wrong. But because of love, he was able to teach us how to walk in selflessness and how to walk in meekness. And that's why we're to be an imitator of Christ. And what does it mean to be an imitator? It's a person who copies the behavior or actions of another. That's that person that is being a follower, a mimicker of someone. Some people teach their parents how to say things and how to do things to where it's something exactly like what they would say. And the one thing about a parrot is that a parrot might just say it, but he might not live it. So then as we walk in the humility of God, which is a modest and low view of one's own importance, you're humble. Are you humble? And being humble means that you have or you show a modest, low self-esteem for one's own importance. See, that's the opposite of pride. Pride talks about me, 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 what I deserve, what I have achieved, what I've done, what I wear. But see, when you start walking and being humble, that means you're not looking at the people by their class. You know, you're not so busy worried about what their ranking is, what their title is, what they do, where they work, how they dress, what they drive. And, you know, it's just so much about me, 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 me. That means that you are saying that other people are insignificant, other people aren't notable, other people aren't remarkable, other people aren't this and that based off of who you think you are. But see, when you walk in the humbleness of God and in the meekness of God, sometimes it means you're going to be quiet. Sometimes it means you're going to be gentle. Sometimes it means you're going to be submissive. Other times it means that you know when to be meek, which is quiet and gentle and long-suffering and forbearing and gentle and somewhat patient and or all the way patient and shy. But you also know when it's time for you to walk into a place like Jesus did and turn over the tables to let people know that this is a house of prayer. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So when you decide that you and your house are going to serve the Lord and other people are practicing all manner of wickedness and deceitfulness and the things that are not pleasing unto God, you have to keep them in your prayers. Because, see, once you make a declaration that you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord, you have to know that many people want to say with their mouth like the parrot what you've said and what the Bible says, but they don't want to live it. See, there's a whole new transformation that must happen called being born again. Have you been born again? No, for real, for real. Have you been born again, or are you just being a parrot where you're saying things? You're being walking in a familiar spirit. You want things to look like God. You want things to talk like this and that, but are you really being an imitator of Christ? Well, this thing is really important during this season where God is dealing with Cecilia, and Cecilia is sharing this with you on today. So in the Word of God, it talks about us decreasing so that He may increase, and we're going to get to those scriptures. On yesterday, the Lord had me write, does your message or the messages and lessons you share talk more about you, things, this or that, more than God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes we're talking so much about us, me, 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 mine, 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 mine. We're talking so much like that, and we claim that it's so that when we're sharing the message of Jesus Christ, that we can be relevant and the people can understand us. I don't see anywhere in the Word where Jesus transformed himself into a different person other than what God had created him to be and called him to be. When he said he was creating us in his image and likeness, he didn't say it was for him to be transforming us into the realistic, relatable, relevant. No, I said he was creating us into his likeness and image. And God knows how to be relatable. God knows how to be relevant. God knows how to be real. And then the other thing that was connected to this said, how important is it to be so-called realistic, relatable, real, relevant at the expense of the preached word being more about you and me instead of God? And then I was so transparent. I came before God, and the first thing I said was, me first, God. I'm talking about Cecilia. Me first, God. Help me to decrease so that you may increase in every area of my life and fiber of my total being. And you know why I said that? In that case, it was me, 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 because I was saying, me first, God. Help me to be right. Help me to get right. Help me to walk in the very image and likeness of you. Because in this case, the me, 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 me is saying that I need to decrease so that Jesus can be seen as Lord. When I talk about Jesus, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I have an opportunity to spread the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about the love of Jesus, the fact that he exists, the fact that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Because, see, sometimes we forget and we don't realize that the enemy of our soul will have us talking so much about us, not in decreasing, not in allowing God to increase, not in allowing the Shekinah glory of God to show up, but about what we've achieved. But any and everything I've achieved is because of God. Any and every positive thing in my life that has happened is because of God. I have learned that I am learning to accept what God allows. Why? Because he's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere all the time. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's everything. But see, when we get fleshly, we forget that when we're doing things and it's all about us, we can be used and abused by not only others, but we are allowing ourselves to be set up in that. I'm going to take a sidebar for just one moment. Pastor Karen had wrote on Facebook, she posted this, texosexual. This is a word she was using. Texosexual, a person that is only attracted to you around tax refund season time. And then I wrote in my response to what she wrote, I said, greetings, woman of God. I thought it was when they call you, I thought I was talking about being texosexual, was when they tell you, baby, you know I love you because you are so taxy. And I can't live without you because you are so taxy. Baby, you are so taxy to me. You are the most taxy woman or man I know or have ever seen. Instead of them calling you sexy, and then I said, laugh out loud. Then R.L. Turner came back, and he decided he was going to be funny, too. He told me, he says, you are so taxy. And then the word of God just came upon me. It's so amazing that during the time when we were trying to be funny, you know, going back and forth on stuff like this, the Holy Ghost hit me like it hadn't hit me when I was writing this stuff being funny. And all of a sudden, I found myself responding to him saying, I'll pass. I'll pass on being sexy because I'd rather be oily in God's anointing. I'd rather be wise in his will. I'd rather be in his way, not in his way like a problem, but I want to be wise in his way. I want to be wise in his word because being taxy, just like being so-called sexy, which is fleshly, which is worldly, might cause me to be separated from God. And I need to be connected to God because he knows what's best for me. So I will say no to being taxy. And then I said, please. And then it says, roll on the floor. And the reason that I said that and did a sidebar on that is because life still happens. Life still goes on day to day. And as we're walking and as we're preaching and teaching, many times we forget that we're walking, living epistles of God that are read by man daily. So just because you may not have the mic in your hand or the phone on does not mean that you're not preaching a message. You're preaching a message every day of your life. And so with the thing that God had given me to post on Facebook about, is it so important to be relevant, relatable, and realistic, and all this and that, which can later cause us to be prideful because 90% of the message is about us instead of about God. God reminded me of John 5. So this is John chapter 5, verses 37 through 47. I'm going to do the King James Version and then the Message Version. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, this is Jesus talking, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent. Him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye may have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. Ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, see, that's what we're talking about, him ye receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For ye have believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now listen to what the Message version says. But my purpose is not to get your vote, and not to appeal to mere human testimony. I'm speaking to you this way so that you will be saved. John was a torch, blazing and bright, and you were glad enough to dance for an hour or so in his bright light. But the witness that really confirms me far exceeds John's witness. It's the work the Father gave me to complete. These very tasks, as I go about completing them, confirm that the Father, in fact, sent me. The Father who sent me confirmed me, and you missed it. You never heard his voice. You never saw his appearance. There is nothing left in your memory of his message, because you do not take his messenger seriously. My. You have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you know you'll find eternal life there, but you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me, and here I am standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want. I am not interested in crowd approval. And do you know why? Because I know you and your crowd. I know that love, especially God's love, is not on your working agenda. I came with the authority of my Father, and you either dismiss me or avoid me. If another came acting self-important, you welcome him with open arms. We're talking about this, being an imitator of Christ and preaching about God and teaching about God instead of the message being about us. And we're going to, the scriptures go on to say, how do you expect to get anywhere with God when you spend your time jockeying for position with each other, ranking your rivals and ignoring God? But don't think I'm going to accuse you before my Father. Moses, and whom don't, let me say this because I have to make sure this is separated, because I had said my Father and then I went to Moses, and that's a whole nother sentence. So let me go back and read this in the way it needs to be read. Thank you, God, for that conviction and that correction. Okay, the verses go on to say, but don't think I'm going to accuse you before my Father. And then the next sentence says, Moses, in whom you put so much stock, is your accuser. If you believeth what Moses said, you would believe me. He wrote of me. If you wouldn't take seriously what he wrote, how can I expect you to take seriously what I speak? My. That's God speaking. Now let's talk about more what the Bible says and what the Bible declares. And this is John chapter 3, verses 30 through 35, King James Version. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. I want to read verses 22 through 35 as well, because I'm going to read a commentary on them. After these things came Jesus, his disciple, unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question before some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized all men came to him. And all men come to him, rather, not came to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, that my joy therefore is fulfilled. So that is the things that John was declaring to the people. Now this was John, the person who was the forerunner for God, before he said to them, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, that was the forerunner that was talking about Jesus Christ, letting his people know, or his followers or his disciples know, that not only was he pointing to Jesus all the time, he needed them to understand that now he had to decrease so that the gospel and that the word made flesh and that the following of Jesus Christ could increase. And in the commentary about these verses, it said, John was fully satisfied with the place and work assigned him. But Jesus came on a more important work. He also knew that Jesus would increase in honor and influence, for of his government and peace there would be no end, while he himself would be less followed. John knew that Jesus came from heaven as the Son of God, where he was a sinful mortal man who could only speak about the more plain subjects of religion. Mm-hmm. See, that's us. The words of Jesus were the words of God, and he had the Spirit, not by measure, as the prophet talking about us. We have it by measure, but Jesus has the Spirit of God in its fullness. Everlasting life could only be had by faith in him, talking about faith in Jesus Christ, and might be thus obtained, whereas all those who believe not in the Son of God cannot partake of the salvation, but the wrath of God forever rests upon them. So we have to realize that even John the Baptist knew when his preaching and teaching, he was talking about Jesus coming again. How many of us are preaching and our teaching is about Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father? It's talking about the access to God being through Jesus Christ, talking about him being our Lord and our Savior and our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. How many of us are messages telling people about the goodness of Jesus and how good he's been to us? How many of us are messages are saying, Look to Jesus. I'm announcing him. I'm declaring and I'm decreeing his goodness. I'm talking about his love. I'm talking about him being our intercessor. I'm talking about him being the captain of our salvation. I'm talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. I'm talking about Jesus being the Word made flesh. I'm living a life that shows I can't do nothing without him. I'm living a life that says anything and good thing that I've achieved in life is because of Jesus, because of the love of Jesus. It's because of God. It's because of the Holy Spirit of God. It's because of the leading, guiding of God. Is it 90% about you or me? Or is it 90% about him? Is it 91% about him? Is it 92% about him? Is it 93%, 94%, 95%, 96%, 97%, 99%, 100%? How much is what we're preaching and teaching and living about God? Yes, we've got to be natural in this natural world and deal with things naturally, but we also have to know that they have a supernatural side to them. Does your life say Jesus is Lord? Does your life say that you must decrease so that he must increase? Does your life say I'm an imitator of Christ? I'm not perfect, but he's perfecting me. Does your life say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him there is nothing? Does your life say that because God loved me, he created me in his very likeness and his image? And does your life say that when he did that in the beginning, that Jesus came and he restored us back to that likeness through him saying it is finished? And through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone, we are being perfected so that we can fellowship with God and walking and being the very likeness and the image of God. So this concludes what we have today on being imitators of Christ. But again, is the message that you're teaching and the message that you're preaching, and the message that you're living, and the message that you're singing, and the message that and lessons in your life that you're allowing people to see in you and of you daily, aren't they pointing to Jesus Christ, or is it all about you? Is your message so realistic and relatable and real and relevant at the expense of the priest word of God that causes us to decrease so that he can increase? Let's make sure that we're not trying to be so realistic and relevant and real and relatable and all of this and that that we claim at the expense of us increasing and him decreasing. Because it's the opposite. He is to increase, and we are to decrease. John the Baptist was an example of that. He had followers that were following him while he preached Jesus. If you're not preaching anything else other then Jesus, 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 Jesus is Lord. Jesus is our Savior. He's our intercessor. Everything about Jesus. Then you're not trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're trying to preach the gospel of whatever your name is. And that's not God. Minister Sheila, that's all I have.
Thank you, Pastor Relax, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the words, the acknowledgement, and the teaching. I just want to ask if anyone on the line that might have a word or testimony that they would like to give us. Your time is now. Hmm.
Well, I'm going to give honor to God, to each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you and I praise your name for the words, the teaching, and the verses, and the knowledge that you have gave to Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser to share with us, and to hope that we all learn to listen and benefited from it. Lord, most of all, I just want to thank you for loving all of us and giving us the life to love you and choose to love you. Lord, I'm going to give honor and thank you for blessing us for now, because that's all I can pray for is right now, but for what all you have in storage for us, only you know. And Lord, whatever it is, I know it's beautiful, and I thank you. I want to ask for anyone that don't know God to take the time and ask and learn the beautiful blessings of their experience that will come over your life. It will be so outstanding, so beautiful, so bright, that you will wonder, where have you been? Why you took so long? And just to say sorry, Lord God, that it took me long, but I thank you for waiting on me. I want to ask each and every one to praise the Lord and thank him and to acknowledge him, because without him, we would not be here today. Now I want to say, if you can tune in to each and every Sunday morning from 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to Let's Talk with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and myself, and each and every Monday night on Blog Talk and also on Facebook some nights with the speakers for Iron Sharpening Iron, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. And I want to let you know that they're also on Facebook, Blog Talk on Mondays. And on Friday nights, it's on Facebook and on Blog Talk for Let's Talk. But 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to bring the words and the knowledge in this Facebook and Blog Talk to help you understand and to realize God is more of a blessing than you can ever imagine, more in beauty of the way of life that you have never seen or heard of. And I want to ask you to tune in to us on our two nights and one morning to learn and to understand the blessing, the love, in the teaching of God our Father and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus, and to remember our scripture, seek ye first, it's Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I want to say thank you and have a blessed day, and to remember, we are really nothing without God the Father and the Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, thank you, and thank you, and for all, stay blessed, and to love the Father and the Son, because he loves us. Bye.